Generations after Noah and the flood, the earth was filled with people again. Many forgot that they'd been created in God's image and followed their own disruptive ways. But God didn't give up on humans. God made a deep, binding promise called a covenant with Abram, a descendant of Noah. God promised him, "I will bless you and make known throughout history. Your family will become a great nation that I'll bless and protect. Through them, I will extend my blessing to the entire world." This was an amazing promise, but there was a problem. Abram's wife, Sarai, wasn't able to have children, and they were both getting very old. She was 65 and he was 75. So how could God bless the entire world through their family if they couldn't have one? God told Abram, "To receive my promise, leave your country and your relatives and move to a new land that I'll show you." Abram and Sarai chose to leave the safety of their homeland and follow God, even though they didn't know where God was leading them. After many weeks of travel, Abram was standing on top of a hill. God told him, "Look as far as you can see in every direction. I'm giving this land to you and your future descendants." Trees and green pastures filled the countryside. Abram and Sarai settled into this place, which they called the Promised Land. A few years later, Abram and Sarai began to wonder if God's promise of a child would ever come true. Abram asked God, "What good is everything you've given me if I don't have a son to pass it on to? I'm getting old, and soon I'll have to give all of this to one of my servants instead." God replied to Abram, "I've promised you and Sarai a son. Look up at the night sky. Try to count all of the stars. That is how many descendants you and Sarai will be blessed with. Too many to count." As Abram looked up at the star-filled sky, he chose to trust God, even though it seemed impossible, and God was pleased with him. 10 years later, still no sign of a child. So Sarai arranged for Abram to have a child with her servant, Hagar. This kind of arrangement was not unusual in that time and culture. After Hagar became pregnant with Abram's child, she began to hate Sarai. Sarai protested to Abram, "This is your fault. I gave you my servant, and now she treats me horribly." Abram replied, "She is your servant. Do whatever you want with her." So Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she ran away. Eventually, Hagar returned and gave birth to Abram's son, Ishmael. But Sarai still did not have a child. More than 10 years passed, and then suddenly God appeared to Abram. Abram fell face down on the ground. God said to him, "My promise to you will come true. I'm changing your names. You'll now be called Abraham and Sarah, which mean father and mother of many nations. Remember, I'll always be your God, and you'll always be my special people." Abraham and Sarah laughed to themselves in disbelief. Abraham wondered, "How can I become a father at 100 years old? And how can Sarah have a baby when she is almost 90? Sarah thought, "How can a worn-out woman like me have a baby? And my husband is even older than I am." But God said, "Why did you laugh? Is anything too hard for me? You will see. A year from now, you'll have a son." Sure enough, a year later, Sarah gave birth to their son. They named him Isaac, which means laughter. After her son was born, Sarah giggled, "Who'd have dreamed that we'd have a child when we're so old? God has brought us, and everyone who hears about this, laughter." It had taken 25 years, but God's promise to Abraham and Sarah, their son, had come true. This was the beginning of a new kind of people, called to live in God's ways and extend God's blessing to the entire earth. Abraham's family would eventually grow into a large nation. They would be called Hebrews, and later the people of Israel, named after Abraham's grandson. The name Israel means struggler with God. Soon, we'll hear more about why they were given this unique name.